May we honor God with our bodies. Does it sound a little unusual? Maybe it feels more familiar to say, honor God with your soul or your spirit. But the Apostle Paul instructs the Corinthians not to honor God with their souls, but with their bodies. Why did he say this? At the time, Corinth was a very famous city. Please show the map. Geographically, Corinth was at a crossroad. If you wanted to travel from the southern part of Greece to the northern part, you had to travel through Corinth. If you wanted to travel north to south, you traveled through Corinth. Julius Caesar was right because all roads in the area led to and through Corinth. Also, Corinth was a city known for its active trade, not only by land, but also by sea. It was a bustling commercial city where people from all the places did business. With a large population, it was more developed than the surrounding cities. As wealth increased, people began to indulge in entertainment. Therefore, there is a valid reason for Paul's teaching to honor God with the body rather than the soul. But did Paul write such a letter just because people were indulging in entertainment? There is more to it. In today's passage, the word that appears repeatedly to warn us is sleeping around and sexual immorality. It's not just about having fun. It's about the pinnacle of human greed and corruption. And Corinth was a place where such extremes were prevalent. Moreover, it was a time when a secret cult that promoted such immorality were gaining popularity. It was considered secret because sexual relations were part of their religious rituals. It's weird, right? So if someone said, I have been to Corinth, people look at him with suggestive eyes and ask, what did you do there? Did you have a good time? To the extent that the city was known for its sexual depravity. Even among friends, if there was a good man, there would be jokes like, let's Corinthize this friend. The intention of sexually corrupting him and making him more like them. That's what Corinth was like. A city known for such moral corruption. In such a city, Paul undertook the mission of planting a church, considering it the place most in need of God's grace. He worked for a year and a half as a minister to build a community of faith. Through Paul's dedication, the Corinthian church grew. What a thankful story. But Paul couldn't just rejoice. The church was growing, but they were not being made into disciples of Jesus Christ. They were not being transformed from mere churchgoers into real Christians. Why was this happening? It was due to the influence of a secret cult. People who should be united with Christ were constantly having inappropriate relationships with other women. What's strange was that they seemed to have no guilt or remorse for their actions. There was no sense of wrongdoing. In some cases, after worshiping God, the men would stop by the secret cult temple on their way home and engage in physical activity with the female priest. There were many female priests in the temple. And engaging in physical relations with the priest was their form of worship. It is a characteristic of the heresy that rationalize their immoral acts even now. That's because of the influence of Hellenism. Hellenism distinguishes between the spiritual and the physical, believing that God should only be worshipped in the spiritual realm. They believed the physical body had no influence on the affairs of the soul. Therefore, they considered indulging in physical pleasures to be the most substantial way of life. They considered the soul to be crucial and the body to be a shell with no consequences for its actions. Thus, their concept of salvation involved the liberation of the soul from the prison of the flesh. In fact, Paul took a stand against such Hellenistic beliefs. He countered the notion that only the soul was important and that the body could be treated indifferently. The Greek term the Corinthians used for the body was sarcos. It simply referred to the flesh. However, when Paul referred to the body, he used the term soma. This means a holistic, integrated being in which the spiritual and the physical are unified, united in one personality. It's not separation of soul and body. Rather, soma represents our entire being, a unified entity in which soul and body are interconnected. Many times, knowingly or unknowingly, we find ourselves living with such an attitude of faith. I'm not just talking about sexual immorality. I'm talking about duplicity in life. Duplicity. Often the way we present ourselves in the church is different from the way we behave at home or at work. And there are times when our bodies are in the sanctuary during the worship, but our minds are elsewhere, right? May we pray with our whole being. Praise with our whole being. And glorify God with our whole personality. What does it mean to be a Christian? It is to follow Jesus Christ, not just as his fan, but to see the world with his eyes and to interact with the world with his heart. It means becoming his disciple, trying to be like him in every way. The idea that we are forgiven just because we prayed and worshipped, attended worship, as if we were doing our homework, is a misconception on our part. It's a form of dissociation that separates learning from living. the face of convenience, prosperity theology is built on this kind of dissociation. It's a distorted way of thinking that say, I can use God for success as long as I receive blessings. Beware of prosperity preachers or televangelists who emphasize only the soul, that the soul needs to be awakened, cleansed, and saved. The belief that God will save us as long as we are spiritually clean, even if we are morally corrupt. It's a false belief, reminiscent of the Corinthians' belief. Our bodies are a gift from God. A full relationship with God is not only through the soul. It involves our soma, our body, our whole being. It's like a gift. And using it well, considering the intentions of the giver, is a way for the recipient to express gratitude and sincerity. Our bodies are one with Jesus Christ. As stated in verse 15, don't you know that your bodies are parts of Christ? How incredibly edifying are these words. While we each have our individual names, we also live as Christians, possessing the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. We are reminded of this every time we partake in the Holy Communion, right? So please know that you are a precious and holy being. Verse 19 declares that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. For those who live as God's gift, as parts of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within. Living with this sacred self-esteem is not possible by our own identity alone. But with the Holy Spirit at our side as a gift from God, we are enabled to live as one with Jesus Christ. So, let's honor God with our soma, with our body, with our whole being. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we open our souls and bodies to you. Receive our soma, our whole being. Although our whole being falls short of embodying your love, justice, and peace, we still believe that we are a gift from you, a part of Jesus Christ, a temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. Lead us each day to live a sanctified life in faith. May we worship with our bodies, pray with our bodies, and work for the kingdom of God with our bodies. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.